Numbers 31, and this morning we'll read verses 1 through 24 in our consecutive readings through the Scriptures. Numbers 31, 1 through 24. Here we have a war with Midian, likely a description of an event that would have been in what was called the Book of the Wars of the Lord, as it's mentioned in Numbers 21:14. Here in verses 1 and 2, we have a divine command. In verses 3 through 4, we have the very undertaking of the war. 3 through 6. Then we see the glorious success of this battle in verses 7 through 12, following a triumphant return in verses 13 through 24. Let us hear God's word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000, throughout all the tribes of Israel shall ye send to the war. So there will deliver out of the thousands of Israel 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, to the war, with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses. And they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely, Evi, and Rikam, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil and all the prey, both of men and of beasts, and they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days. Whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captains on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And purify all your raiment, and all that is made of skins, and all work of goat's hair, and all things made of wood. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war which went to the battle, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation. And all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the 7th day, and ye shall be clean. And afterward ye shall come into the camp. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Just a few comments on this passage. We have the divine command given to attack Midian. Midian would have been the children of Abraham by Keturah, his second wife, Genesis 25, 2. That group of people, some of them moved south, like Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, and apparently that group of people continued generally in more pure worship. But many of them moved eastward, and they became confederate with Moab, and so their practice was idolatrous. And so judgment was to begin with the house of God, but it doesn't end with the house of God. God now brings judgment upon the heathen through the people of God. Then we see the undertaking for war in verses 3 through 5, or 6. We see that they are to avenge Israel, which is synonymous with avenging the Lord. In other words, the interest of God's people and the interest of God are the same in this case. And we see also a small detachment sent. We might fail to recognize that 1,000 men from each tribe, but this is a very small army compared to the army that could have been mustered by Israel at the time, and that would have really been required if it wasn't the Lord that had directed them to such a small detachment to take on Moab. But as we learn in 1 Samuel 14:6, God is pleased to save by many or by few. And it's in His hand, in His sovereign hand, as to how He chooses to do so. We do see in verse 6b that this is a holy war, because it's the priest, Phinehas, that's the captain of the detachment that goes forward. We see the glorious success. Obviously, they win the battle, though most likely much more shorthanded than the others. We see that the five kings or the elders of Midian are put to death. One of them was Zur, who was the father of Cosby. If you remember, when we read in chapter 25, Cosby was the one who came into the very midst of God's people with a prince in Israel who was bringing her along, and it was Phinehas who puts the javelin through both of them there as they come amongst God's people. Also notice that Balaam is now back amongst the Midianites. He wasn't a Midianite himself. He was hired. He was from the east, much further east, but he has apparently been purchased again for some reason, and so he dies the death there. Though he had once said that he desired the death of the righteous, it's evident that he didn't die the death of the righteous. We see that women and children are taken captive. We see goodly castles mentioned that were torn down. That likely refers to idol temples. Obviously, they plundered the country, and they have a triumphant return in verses 13 through 24. There in verse 13, we see that much respect is paid to the warriors as they return, as is often the case of victors coming back from war. And yet then we see Moses reproving them for saving the women alive. We might ask, well, why is he doing that? Well, first is that's not following the orders that God gave. That's why he reproves them. But what we also see is he gives a rationale. These are the very whores who were used to by following Balaam's plan to bring Israel into sin. And so apparently the men of Israel were still attracted to these women and were unwilling to carry out that which God had called them to do. So Moses corrects them on that point, and then in verses 19 and following, he tells them to purify themselves, 19 and 20, because of the fact that they're ceremonially unclean. They've been involved in war. They've killed men, even at the command of God. They've touched dead men's bodies, and so they're following the purification rites that was incumbent upon them. But then in verses 21 through 23, we see them purifying the spoils that they received. They did it two ways. Now, that which could sustain fire was purified by fire, metals and the like. Other things were sprinkled and they were clean. I think there's a New Testament application to this. Remember, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy that there's no created thing that's not good, but it is to be sanctified by the word and prayer. And so we can partake of that which God has given, and it can be pure. Because Paul says again in Titus, to the pure all things are pure. And so we can partake of the good things of God that arrive to us in a temporal sense, because God has authorized them in His Word if we receive them with thanksgiving.